If you'd like to turn with us tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Starting in verse 1. Here and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, Is not this the Lord? Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fishes laid thereon in bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fishes which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, 153. For there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of his disciples just asked him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. We see here, I said this is not unfamiliar with us. We read the account where Peter, after the Lord had talked to them earlier, and he told them that he was going to go fishing. The latter part of this that we didn't read in verse 15 down through verse 17 or 18, here the Lord asked Peter, does he love his sheep more than these, more than the fishes? Does he love the Lord? But we see that Peter told them, even after they had seen all of the things, you go back into chapter 20, and it talks about Thomas, where they had met together, and the Lord appeared in the midst of them. And Thomas was there the second time when this took place. And he talked to them, and the Lord talked to them. But Peter here said, I'm going fishing. He forgot about the Lord after the Lord had ascended. After the Lord had departed from him, he forgot about the Lord. But we see here, when the Lord stood on the banks of the shore and talked to Peter and to the disciples, and he asked them, had they caught anything? And they told him they hadn't caught anything. We'll go back in the book of Luke, and this gives a similar account of the same incident here. But they hadn't caught anything. But you look, Peter, before the Lord saved him, his profession was a fisherman. That was what he did for a living. But he didn't catch anything. He worked all night. They toiled, the Bible says in Luke, says they toiled all night long, but they never caught anything until the Lord told them where to fish. They didn't catch anything until the Lord, they told them, followed what the Lord had told them to do. I want to talk about tonight for just a little bit on doing things God's way. Following the leading of God and following the direction of the Lord, and waiting upon the Lord, and then the Lord blessed. When, in the book of Luke, so we'll go to this, when they followed the command of God, when the Lord told them what to do, they followed, then they waited for the Lord to bless them, and then the Lord blessed them. And He does the same with us today. We're not any different when we do what the Lord tells us to do. When we follow what the Lord tells us to do, we get in trouble when we don't do what the Lord tells us to do. We get in trouble when we don't follow what the Lord has asked us to do. We can't go ahead of God. We have to follow after the Lord. And we're going to look at some things here a little bit later about following behind and following after the Lord. I know a lot of times we see that when something is not accomplished that we have asked for, or we don't see any result of something that we have prayed about or asked God for right away, we get the feeling that well, we need to give God a hand. We need to help Him out and help the Lord do this for us. But we can't do that. And we can't put the Lord on a schedule, and we can't put the Lord on a table that say, "Well, Lord, you got to do this for me, and I need it this week. Lord, you need to do this for me, and I need it tomorrow." If the Lord feels that it is necessary for us, He can't answer those prayers today. He can answer them tomorrow, and He can answer them in a week. But we don't put God on a timetable and ask God to do things for us today or tomorrow. He does things for us when it is in His time and it pleases Him to do those things. But here, one thing we want to look at: to do things God's way, to follow after the Lord, to follow the things of God, means, first of all, that we must give consideration to what God would have us to do. We must first put God, and what I'm saying here is we must put God first. We must first put Him ahead of what we want to do. Then it doesn't matter what it may be, a small thing, or it may be what we consider a large thing, or somewhere in between. But we see here that in verse 3 here, Simon Peter said unto him, "I'm going fishing." And he said unto them, "We'll go with you." They went forth and they entered into the ship, and immediately they left and they fished all night long, but they caught nothing. Peter didn't give consideration to God. He just decided, "This is what I'm going to do. I want to go fishing." How many times in our life have we just decided that this is what I want to do, regardless of what God is going to bless it or not? I think a lot of times about Samson, when he was commanded not to have anything to do with the Philistines. He was commanded not to marry them, not to do anything with them, not to have anything to do with them. But the Bible says that he met a woman of the Philistines, and the latter part of that thing said, the verse says, "And she pleased him well." I preached on that one time. She pleased him well. It didn't matter what parents thought. It didn't matter what God had commanded him to do. "I want to do this. Regardless of what the Word of God tells me, I'm going to go ahead and do this regardless." We need to stop and think, does God want me to do this? Is this what God has for me to do? Each one of us in our lives, God has something for us to do. One may be different from another, but there's none not important, and there's none less important than the other, whatever it may be. But he went fishing, and he toiled all night long, but he never caught a thing, because he wasn't in the right place. He wasn't fishing in the right place. No doubt, I don't have no doubt that if Peter was a fisherman by trade, that was his livelihood. No doubt he had fished all around the boat. No doubt he had fished all over where they were at, but it wasn't where the Lord wanted him at. It wasn't where God wanted him at. But when the Lord told him to fish on this side of the boat, no doubt they had already fished there before, but they went ahead. Read in here in Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, this is another account of the same story here in Luke chapter 5. And in verse 5, it tells us this. verse 4 and said, "And when he had left speaking, the Lord, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing." But what made the difference? What made the difference in what he had done? These last part of this verse made the difference, but he said, "At thy word I will let down the net." Because God told him to. Because the Lord told him to let your net down. Because the Lord said, "If you'll do this, I'll bless you before you do it. I will fill the net when you do this." And that's just what we need to do today. In all parts and all aspects of our lives today, we need to first of all say, even though it may have done nothing before, but if you know and I know that God has something that He wants you to do. He wanted them to go out. They went out. He wanted them to cast their net. They cast their net. God blessed it. He said here in that latter part, said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Regardless if we fished here before and didn't catch anything. Regardless if I've done this and hadn't done anything about it. If you tell me to do this, regardless, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on and do what you have told me to do. We need to do what the Lord asked of us to do, regardless of what it may be. I know a lot of times it's hard to do what the Lord has us to do. We may not want to do what the Lord has for us to do. We may be afraid to do what the Lord has for us to do from outside pressure or many reasons, whatever they may be. We may be afraid to do what the Lord would have us to do. But we need to be, as Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do this. Nevertheless, because you have told me to do it, then I believe that you're going to do something. I believe that you're going to work and you're going to bless, so I'm going to do it." Just as Jesus blessed Peter with a great multitude of fishes, God knows what we need. God can bless us when we do the things that He tells us to do. See, they didn't get anything until the Lord told them what to do. They didn't catch anything until the Lord told them what to do. I said, it's not always easy to do what the Lord tells us to do or has for us to do. But the blessings of the Lord are in doing anything that He tells us to do. He tells us and commands us there's blessings for doing those things. But the blessings of God are sometimes in the hard things that He asked for us to do. They may not be hard for someone else. Someone else may not have any trouble doing something. But if it's a certain thing that He's asking us to do, it may be a hard thing for us to do. But if we'll just step out and do what the Lord tells us to do and follow Him, then God will bless us. Peter, again, when he did as the Lord commanded, he blessed. And He'll bless us today in whatever things that we do that He commands us to. But we need to make sure tonight that we do, and what we're doing is what He commands us to do. Another thing here tonight, to do things God's way to wait upon the Lord doesn't also mean that we give God consideration and give Him first, but it also means, as Peter did, we don't move when we think we need to. We don't move when we feel that's what I think I need to do. I've thought here lately about some things that I thought I need to do. But I don't know if it's what I need to do or if it's something I want to do. And God is not going to bless me for things that I want to do. If I go out and do things that I want to do, and I'm not talking about committing sin, this is something I've got on my mind, but He'll not bless me for things that I want to do. You need to make sure that it's things that He tells us to do. But to move at the command of God. When God commands, then we should move. When God tells us to do something, it doesn't matter what it is, then we should do it. It can be anything But we need to move at the command of God. Look in the book of Exodus. We heard this already last week, but in the book of Exodus in chapter 40, here when at the dedication of the tabernacle, said we had heard this in Exodus chapter 40, starting in verse 34. I think it is here. Said, then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Again, as we heard the other day, last week, about this, and this was an example of the glory of the Lord and filling the church, the Holy Spirit baptizing the church. But here, that we believe that the cloud represented the Holy Spirit of God. But you see what happened to the children of Israel. We're talking about moving at the command of God. The children of Israel, when the tabernacle and the cloud was taken from out of the tabernacle, then the children of Israel moved. But when the cloud settled over the tabernacle, the children of Israel didn't move. And they stayed where they were at until the cloud was moved. It may have been days, it might have been weeks or months. We don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But we do know that they didn't go anywhere until they were led. They didn't go anywhere until the cloud took up and moved and they followed. Here, like I said, this is what we should do. This is how we should be as far as being led by the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, we get a jump, so to speak, on the Lord. If we want to do things that we want to do and go on ahead of the Lord and decide, this is what I'm going to do, rather than waiting for the Lord to move and then us follow the Lord in whatever aspect of our lives. And this applies not only to individuals, but you can apply this to churches as well. When the church moves as the Lord commands and they follow that, think about when the church was thinking about, this may not be, that may not think it's that a good example, when the church was thinking about renovating and doing some work. I don't know how many has ever seen the old building before they bricked it and everything. It was just a wood frame building, hardwood floors, not very big at all. And there wasn't any way that one could sit down and figure out how to pay for it. But they said the Lord was leading. The Lord wanted this, and the church followed that, and it was supposed to take like 25 or 30 years to pay for it, and the Lord blessed it, and it was paid for in probably, I think it was 8 or 10 years less than what it was supposed to be paid for. Why? Because they waited upon the Lord. They followed what the Lord. They didn't jump out and say, we're going to do this regardless. That's how we get in trouble. A lot of times when we think that the Lord is leading us to do things that He's not. We should follow and not go ahead of the Lord. I said it takes a lot. It takes a lot to say yes to what the Lord would have one to do. I don't know if anyone here has been called to do anything other than be faithful church members. Whatever it may be, do it for the Lord. If He's called you to do that, Then follow that. Think about when the Lord called me to preach in July the 5th, 1998. Well, actually, I'd tell people he called me long before July the 5th. But that was when I surrendered to preach. That's a large step for someone to do. You need to make sure that that's what the Lord wants someone to do. You don't just decide one day that I'm going to preach or I'm going to do this. I thought about it for many, many days and weeks and several months. But you know what happens a lot of times when the Lord calls somebody to do something, they do just like Moses did. They do just like I did. They do just as those I've heard of do. They begin to make excuses why I can't do that. It's hard probably to understand that. But when the Lord called Moses to go down into Egypt and to speak to the children of Israel and to speak to Pharaoh and to deliver the children of Israel, he told them in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent. Said, neither heretofore nor since he has spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He made up reasons why he couldn't go. He says, well, I can't go because I don't know what to say. Well, I can't go and speak to them because I'm not educated as far as maybe they would think that you would need to be to preach. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be anything. Only thing you have to do is make sure that that's what the Lord wants you to do. So I thought about it. Stand up in front of people and to preach. I never had any trouble talking. That was the last thing that I had trouble not doing. I could talk to anybody. If I met people on the street and they talked to me, I could talk as long as they did. I never have a problem talking to people. But this was different. It's a responsibility that goes with it. But I believe this tonight. No matter what the Lord has called anyone to do, I believe that He'll not call anyone to do anything that He'll not give them the ability to do. He'll not call anybody to do anything that He will not enable them to be able to accomplish what He's called them to do. If it's to be a faithful church member, He'll give you the ability. He'll enable you to be the best church member you can be. He can enable you to be the best parent you can be. He can enable you to be the best at whatever you want to do. But Peter moved at the command of the Lord by faith. And he drew in such a great multitude of fishes that the net didn't break. But you can go back there in Matthew and in the book of John, there in that 21st chapter. You can go back there and you can read. You can go over into the Gospel of Luke there in chapter 5 and you can read, and you'll find nowhere that it said that here he said to cast it out. Here he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, in verse 6 of this 21st chapter of John. Cast your net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Doesn't say anywhere where they said, well, we've done fish there and we ain't nothing over there. Well, we already fished on that side and we didn't find anything. There ain't no use going over there again. That's what we make excuses of why. But you see what happened to them? They cast their net. They didn't question the Lord. They didn't question as to why to do it. But they followed what the Lord had told them without doubt and without question. We need to be that way in the service of the Lord. We need to be that way when God calls us to do something without question and without doubt. Just go ahead and do it, whatever it might be. Think there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, when Abraham was called to God to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a country that he had never been to before. He had never seen this place. And there in the 8th chapter of Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, and not knowing whither he went." The things that we're talking about here, you can see God first of all called. He commanded here to go. Second of all, he said, and then he obeyed, and he went, and he waited upon the Lord. He wandered and sojourned through a country, not having, the Bible says that he didn't even have a home to live in. He dwelt in tents and in tabernacle. He dwelt in the land, not having no permanent dwelling. If you want to think about this tonight, this is not part of the message. It's just something to think about. That's how we should be. I don't say that we should sell our houses and live in tents in our yards or anything like that. But what it's representing is that this world is not a permanent place to those that are saved. What it's telling Abraham was that you don't take roots up in this world. You just journey here, and that's all we're doing. We're journeying through this land, waiting for the day, waiting for that new country and that new home that Abraham looked for, that was not built with hands of man, but his builder and maker was God. That was just something I thought of as a coming in. I had to say that. But first God commanded, and then he obeyed. Then he waited. Then God blessed him. He went. God blessed by giving Isaac his son, which the Bible says that he would be, through Isaac, would be a great nation. God blessed him for following. God blessed him for doing the things that he was to do. But the Lord commands, and we follow. We shouldn't question and we shouldn't doubt, but we do. I think we do whenever it's something we may not think we want to do. As I said, when the Lord called me to preach, I'd do anything with that. I started teaching Sunday school and thought, well, that'd be good enough. I won't have to do anything with that. And then I started, when I got up in the morning, that's what I thought about. When I went to bed at night, that was what I thought about. Because you don't get away from it. You may hide it for a little while, but you don't get away from it. But we need to make sure that's what God wants us to do. But to say yes, the disciples here, Peter followed without doubt. He followed without question what the Lord had commanded him to do. I said, is he calling anyone here tonight to do anything? It doesn't have to be anything special. I don't know if the Lord called anyone to preach or not. That's between you and the Lord. But I said, if he's called you to be a church, best church member you can be, he'll enable you to do that. If he's called you to do anything, he'll enable you to be able to perform what he wants you to do. He'll bless you. He blessed Simon Peter. And in both verses, in both books, he said that there was so many fish that they were not able to drag it aboard. Here in John, he says, and their nets broke not. But you look in the book of Luke, it says there were so many that their nets broke. But here, there was just so many. God blessed them above and beyond what they would even have thought about. Above and beyond what they would have caught on their own. When you do things the way God tells us, when we go where God tells us, when we follow what God tells us to do, then God blesses. And He blesses our efforts and our work. I said, some things may be more difficult than others. Some things may be harder to do. But he said there in Genesis chapter 21 or 12 there, when he told Abraham again, said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless thee and make my name great. Thou shalt be a blessing." And he did. Because he obeyed. He did because he followed what the command of the Lord was. He did because he didn't say, "No, I don't want to do that. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't want to go and do anything else. I don't want to go somewhere where I don't know where I'm at. Or I don't know anybody." But he took up and separated himself from his family, and he went. Tonight we need to make sure that if we're doing anything for the Lord, if we're going to move and go anywhere, we move at the command of God. We move at His Word. Tonight, is the Lord calling anyone here tonight to do something for Him? If He is, do like Peter. Do like Abraham. Do like all of those that you can read about in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. They didn't question God. They didn't doubt. They didn't say, well, I don't want to. By faith, it said, they followed. By faith, step out tonight and do whatever the Lord would have you to do. If you're here tonight and saved, but maybe you're not a member of the Lord's church, is the Lord calling you to be a member of this church? Is the Lord calling you to be scripturally baptized, to move your letter, or whatever it may be? If He is, then we need to do whatever He has for us to do. You're here tonight and lost, and we don't know the hearts and minds of anyone. If you're here tonight and lost, you can't follow the Lord. You can't do what the Lord would have you to do. You don't know the Lord as Savior. Tonight, He's calling you to salvation. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Don't delay and don't tarry. The Bible tells us you have no promise of tomorrow. All we have is what we have before us. Whatever you may have on your heart and mind, tonight we'll talk to you the best we can. We'll all stand. We'll just sing a verse of an invitation song.